You're listening to 10 Points, a podcast with your hosts, Ash and Nicholas, where all the talk is Canadian Highlander, our favorite format from the best trading card game ever, Magic the Gathering.
Hey everyone, it's me, Nicholas.
And me, Ash.
And today we're going to be playing a new game that we came up with. But first, we got to do our best card from. So Ash, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so today our best cards are from Torment, and to be honest, this set is not particularly dense with playable cards, but there are a few, notably ones for Dredge, and we're not going to talk about those ones. I think the most important one for Canlander is actually Cabal Ritual. One and a black, add 3 black mana. If you have Threshold, you add 5 instead. It goes into a lot of Storm decks, a lot of Garbage Platter decks. I've seen it in Doomsday even. It's just one of those really key role players in the decks that need that kind of density of those effects.
Yeah, that's definitely the top of the list, and then it drops pretty heavily after that. So the card I'm going to pick, sticking with the Cabal theme, is Cabal Coffers. And while it might not be the card that sees the most play in the rest of the set, I think it's the one that in the decks that play it, it's the most impactful. Mostly mono black devotion or mono black control. Those are really the only two decks that play it, but they love the card, and it's a very, very important card in their deck, so that's why I picked it.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just chug right along here. We're not gonna linger on that. The game we're gonna play here is going to be a bit of a deck brewing kind of game. I'm going to give Nicholas a grouping of cards, and he is going to give me an elevator pitch version of a deck that he would play using those cards, and then we'll maybe talk a little bit about it, workshop it a little bit. Not writing a full list or anything, but just thinking of how we could collaboratively build a deck like that. And then we'll pass it off to Nicholas. He'll give me a list of cards, and we'll repeat back and forth. So, yep. Nick, are you ready for your first grouping of cards?
I am ready.
Okay, this grouping is very open-ended. It is Mox Sapphire, Mox Jet, and Liliana of the Veil.
All right, Mox Sapphire, Mox Jet, and Liliana of the Veil.
Yeah.
We could, like, add colors, but that's boring, so I'm going to stick in Dimir. And I think we could turn this into, honestly, I just want to kind of build Pox. I think blue probably gives you like enough control pieces to balance out the badness that is Pox. And then you just play like all the Pox pieces, like the Black Wraths. Obviously Liliana of the Veil fits right into that.
As much as I want to play in Goldfish Ore, that kind of is against the whole point of playing the rack and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you even need to go that far. Like, I'm just thinking, like, pure resource denial. Like,
okay, so we're, like, sinkholing.
Yeah, like, you're making them discard cards, you're making them sack creatures, you're wrathing the board. Like, it's hard control, but in the sense that you just try to like strip every part of their being,
so it's like blue black tap play. Out control.
Yeah,
okay, so what are our win conditions here then? Obviously Liliana of the Veil is often prompts concession but doesn't actually win the game by itself.
Sure. I don't know, I think our win conditions have to be on flavor. So I mean, we're playing, I mean, like Will Kenrith, because copying a sinkhole just sounds like straight gas.
For a similar reason, we're playing Snapcaster Mage, which technically is a win condition.
Creeping, I mean, really, pit. I think we're probably on just, like, a lot of walkers, to be honest.
Well, they don't die to our board wipes.
Exactly. Like, I think we're on our only creatures that we're playing are, like, things that, I guess, coincide with our game plan. So Snapcaster Mage, Delthy Voidwalker is probably
extremely good. It's like nice win condition, it's mine now.
Yeah, obviously opposition agent.
We probably can't go as far as to play like Waste Knot, right? We can't do that. That's probably too far.
I know, we could make that happen. We're on enough discard.
Okay, hold on. I just want to point out, There's no way we're going as deep as to play Waste Not, but not playing the Rack.
Well, no, 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 because the Rack is... Waste Not doesn't care how many cards they have in hand. It just cares that you are having them discard cards, which we're doing. But, like... Okay. So, I don't know. All right, sure. We're playing the Rack. Throw the Rack in the deck.
If we do Waste Not, should we be, like, Dark Dealing? Or are we going too far off the deep end here?
I don't even know what that card does.
So it's black, Wheel of Fortune for the same cost, but you draw one fewer cards.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, honestly, we're probably just on, like, multiple wheels. Like, Windfall. Like, the...
Like the one with Flashback?
Echo Avians. Yeah.
Probably. Straight up Twister. Those don't make them discard. We need the ones that actually make them discard.
Yeah, you're right. Those shuffle in. Only discard. So we're playing Windfall. I think we're going for discard shenanigans.
Ancient Excavation. It has basic land cycling for two, and then it's just like a Wheel of Fortune for four mana.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I mean, we can play Davriel, the Rack on a little planeswalker, the uncommon planeswalker from
Oldsmark. Yeah. No, that card's great.
Probably some more Lilianas here. All right, this deck is actually, this is like the most C-tier deck I've ever heard, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, the deck's great. Like, we got the Moxes for fast mana to, like, propel ourselves forward, start making them discard their hand.
We're probably just soul ringing with the rest of our points.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds good to me.
We're playing so many planeswalkers.
Yeah, we're playing walkers, we're playing ways to make them discard, payoffs for having them discard. This deck just sounds great.
Can we play Inspector Jace? That is to say, okay, hold on. In light of the recent set that came out, that's a poor explanation. I mean, Shadows Over Innistrad Jace. The one that has +1 as an opt.
That card's pretty decent. If you ever like ult it, that just is debilitating and yet still technically winnable.
I mean, we play more like real planeswalkers, like Jace the Mind Sculptor and Jace Friend's Prodigy, because one of them finds more duresses and one of them flashes back our duresses.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
Okay.
Jace the Mind Sculptor is just great, because if you get him, like, Hellbent, you just, like, unsummon their creature, their hand, and then, I don't like, him to Torak them or something.
Or Liliana of the Veil.
Sure. That works, too.
And then we also get to play just, like, normal removal, like, spot removal and counter spells and cantrips.
Yeah, but I think we're probably only on, like, the really cheap counter spells.
Yeah, because we're going to be tapping down a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, probably, like, Force of Will, Force of Negation.
Yeah, Force of Will, Force of Negation, probably, like, Spell Pierce.
Caring more about actually dealing with stuff once it hits play.
Yeah, I think we probably play some of the good 2-mana, like, obviously, actual counterspell. And then maybe, like, a couple other 2-mana counterspells.
Yeah, like, Lose Focus, maybe Counter Squall if we feel like there was enough non-creature spells to worry about.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I like it. Yeah, I think that's interesting. Dope. And that is, well, yeah, interesting. What do you got for me?
I was not quite as nice on my first go.
Oh, golly.
It's not terrible, though. So we've got Hellrider.
Okay.
Metalwork Colossus and Kadoltha Rebirth.
Okay, all right. Okay. I can work with this. So... Obviously, we want to be looking at, like, okay, these cards kind of, if you look at any two of these cards, you can see what's going on. It just doesn't work with the third one.
Well, so if you
well, hold on.
Hellrider and Metalwork Colossus
don't really. You can't
explain
it to me. You can, it's my job, and we can all talk right, about right, it after right, I have my
right,
idea.
You're right.
So, obviously, we're looking into decks that care about artifacts and decks that care about tokens. Or at least making a lot of bodies. It doesn't have to be tokens necessarily. I think that our best bet is to play a lot of cheap artifacts. Like, we'll play like Urza Saga, Mishra's Bauble, for like getting our Metalcraft online and getting our Talarian Academy to make more mana. But we're also wanting to play artifacts that have a decent CMC to them to help bring down the cost of Metalwork Colossus. Probably stuff like, I wouldn't go as far as to play equipments, but probably just like utility stuff. Like if we have a lot of artifacts in our deck, we could maybe do Mystic Forge. We could have more rocks to play. I guess, I don't know if this is really a rock kind of deck outside of like maybe Moxes and Sol Ring. But like we could play like artifact creatures like Stonecoil Serpent and Phyrexian Revoker and the one that which one? This one? I feel like there's a cheap artifact creature that comes with the token. It's kind of like the goblin that does that. I might be crazy. Okay, maybe I'm crazy.
Probably exists.
But we're gonna play a bunch of artifacts that do stuff. We'll probably play like Chromatic Stars. Just for the sake of having artifacts in play and then getting value out of sacrificing them to other stuff, which means we probably are going to be playing a lot of non-creature spells, which means that we probably want to be playing Third Path Iconoclast to give us more bodies in the board for when we play our Hellrider.
All right, I'm here for it.
And if we're making enough artifacts, especially making enough artifact tokens, for example, there's the new Kul'Dalthal Rebirth from Phyrexia Obi-Wan that is almost strictly better, and it makes, I think, artifact goblin tokens, which is even better. So if we have a lot of artifacts coming into play, we could play a Reckless Fireweaver to ping them whenever we do that, though that might be getting too far. But really, I feel like we're playing a blue-red kind of like Goblin Welder pile kind of deck.
I like it.
We could lean into black if we want to play the thing from the Warhammer deck. I don't remember what it's called. Tune into our most recent Paperlander, which is not that recent at this point, but tune into that if you want to see some welding. But we're also going to be playing just like we're in blue for Talarian Academy and Third Path Iconoclast, so we might as well be playing Urza and some artifact tutors if we have key things to hit. Emery to rebuy a lot of this stuff. Emery is like the worst of our welders. Because she doesn't really weld very well, but she brings stuff to the party, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where I'm leaning with it. Now you're allowed to have input.
Yeah, no, I like it. Like, artifact-based kind of token deck.
Artifact go-wide.
Yeah, artifact go-wide.
Oh, we're definitely, like, definitely Thopter sorting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're
just,
like, you're playing artifacts that you don't mind sacrificing. You're playing like payoffs like Metalworker Colossus. I like it.
Metalwork Colossus. Metalworker is a different card, which we're probably not right. Playing.
We're definitely not.
Probably not. No, I don't think we need that much mana.
I think that sounds like a pretty solid game plan.
Yeah, I mean honestly it kind of sounds a lot like the deck that Tim played on Paperlander, but
yeah, maybe deck a was little dope. Less streamlined. I'm trying to think. Do we add any more colors, or do we just like stick to? Is it?
Well, Tim would love it if we added white and put Jeskai Ascendancy in there. And to be honest, oh wait, hold on. So if we're goblin welding, well, we want stuff in our graveyard. So Jeskai Ascendancy lets us loot stuff away, and all of our tokens get bigger. Actually, it's just insane. We go white for that, and like Portable Hole, and Enlightened Tutor.
All right, Jeskai Ascendancy artifact.
Oh, and Shorakai.
I mean, sure.
For the Hellrider thing,
probably just goes in anyway. Shorakai is just good with the whole thing.
Yeah, but especially with Hellrider.
Sure. Yes.
We might be able to justify an intangible virtue. I'm not entirely sure about that one though. Tim kept talking about this card that he played in Jeskai tokens. It was like a better intangible, or like another intangible virtue in red. So if I find that, I'll show you. But until then, I'll hold up. All right,
I'm a fan of this.
Do you have any more
deck.
Comments on that one, or are you? Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is very important. We didn't say this at the top of the show, and maybe it's because Nicholas didn't want to. In which case, we'll cut this out. But you guys should tell us, out of all these decks we talk about, what sound the most interesting for us to do a live brew of. In a future episode.
Yeah. Let us know what seems best. We are going to pick one of these to do a live brew of and actually flesh out a list.
Or the community will pick.
TBD. Well, yeah, yes, the community will pick, and then we will...
Picking will happen.
Pick the one that the community has picked.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, well, are you ready for your second grouping?
I'm ready.
Okay, so I know you don't know what these do by name, so I'm going to send them to you.
Appreciate it.
For the audience, the first card is Empyrean Eagle. It is 1BW for a 2/3 flyer. It's a bird spirit. Other creatures you control with flying get +1/+1. And then the second card is Reconnaissance Mission. It's 2BW for an enchantment. It has cycling for 2. And it says whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. And then your third card is Wooded Foothills.
Wooded Foothills.
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, I feel like the easy answer is Flying Men.
Okay.
But that sounds
with Wooded Foothills. Easy.
Well, you can probably make it work. You play green for Oko and Uro, but again, that's too easy. That's too easy. So we're gonna build spirits. You're probably still playing green for
Oko and Uro.
Oko and Uro. I don't know. Okay. I guess I'm not immersed enough in the spirit culture. Are there any spirits in green or red?
So the reason people ever played Bant Spirits is for Collected Company. Is blue-white spirits with 4 of Collected Company.
I like that.
No, you don't.
You don't like Collected Company? No, that card's great. All right, we're playing...
In Pioneer, they don't even do that. They just do mono blue or blue-white.
Body of Jukai. It's 7. It's 7 green for a 8/5 spirit with trample and soul shift 8.
Wow. Would you like to read the reminder text on soul shift? Because I'd say 10% at most of the people listening to this know what that does.
When this is put into a graveyard from play, you may return target spirit card with converted mana cost 8 or less from your graveyard to your hand. It doesn't even go to the battlefield. Wow, this mechanic's awful.
I wonder why that never came back. Is it Kamigawa? If you're gonna find a green spirit, it's gotta be from Kamigawa block. It's got to be.
It is... I don't know.
Okay, but... forget it. So we're building spirits then, eh?
Yeah, we're building spirits. There are some like actual green spirits. Strangleroot Geist is a spirit.
Oh, that's tough. That's green, but it is a good spirit.
There's Loam Dweller, which
yeah, I don't lets know that
you...
one.
It's a 1 and a green for 2/2. Whenever you play a spirit or arcane spell, you may put a land from your hand into play tapped.
Yeah, that seems not necessary.
No, definitely not.
How much was it? 3 mana? 4 mana?
No, 2 mana.
I mean, still. I feel like we can take this two ways. It can be red for removal or green for toolboxy stuff / maybe a couple good
spirits. I thought about that, but I feel like red for removal is such an easy out.
Okay, you're already playing spirits. You can take the easy out.
No. I wanna be fully immersed into the 3 cards, and so we're hardcore green. Well, green is still a splash, but there's some green spirits that are playable, and then we get Oko and maybe Uro out of it.
Uro, well, unfortunately, not a spirit. Wait, yeah. There's no way he's a spirit. No, he's just a god. Like
I don't even know if he's... I don't know. He's not a spirit, that's for sure.
Uro's gotta be a god, right?
I don't think he's a god. I think he's like a...
I don't think he's Titan. He's an elder giant.
An elder giant.
I guess that makes sense. Okay, well, keep talking to me about Bant spirits while I help you find green ones.
Alright. Wait. No, we're not playing red. Yeah, we're just playing green. Nah, that's we're not doing that. We're not going. I said I want to be fully immersed, and by that I mean I want to be like mostly immersed.
Okay.
See, here the problem is that none of the green spirits have flying. But it's all right because all of our
what about Elvis Spirit Guide?
Hey, Elvis Spirit Guide, it's a spirit. It actually guides spirits, so it's very, very unflavored.
I don't think that's how that works. I think it's a spirit that guides you.
You know, that makes a lot more sense. You know, there's really no way to tell.
Yeah, all these green spirits just care about enchantments.
Yeah, they're all really bad. Legendary Landwalk. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yo, you can play Pack Guard. Oh, it doesn't have flying either. All right, you better start talking up this flying mechanic. You're starting to lose ground here.
No, we get flying from. I mean, we get flying from blue and white. I mean, there's so many spirits in blue and white that fly. I mean, Maelstrom Wanderer, Rattle Chain, Supreme Phantom. I think Geist is a spirit.
Geist of St. Traft is absolutely a spirit. Traft,
yeah. And that makes flying angels.
Well, it makes a flying angel. And then another one. Or maybe it's the same one depending on your flavor beliefs. Mechanically, it is a different one. But so is the Ragavan token that Carrie Zev makes.
I mean, you know, I can't argue with that. this deck's just like totally fine. Skyclave Aberrations, a spirit. You can in green. I bet there's a lot of utility spirits. Like you could probably play creature tutors and like pick and choose which spirits you're needing to hit.
Okay, so like we're talking like what's the one called? I should know what this is called. It's three mana and it counters Supreme Verdict.
Man, why can't I think of the name? Gosh dang it.
I can
it.
See the art. Everyone is yelling at us so hard right now.
Spellqueller.
Yeah, Spellqueller. Goodness gracious. So like Spellqueller, yeah. Obviously.
Spellqueller.
What about honestly, Skyclave? Oh, you just said Skyclave Apparition.
Yeah. Honestly, our point spread is probably triple mock Survival of the Fittest. That's the point spread I'm going with here.
Yo, there's a couple of like spirits that like have Disturb, right?
Maybe.
Disturb? You know the mechanic from the third time we went to Innistrad? Most of them. Oh, this one has Disturb. Let's see. Binding Geist. It's 3 mana for a 3/1. When it attacks, target creature and opponent controls gets -2/-0. And for 1 and a blue, you get to basically flash it back as a. Well, enchantment that gives them -1/-2/-0. Okay, so maybe that one's not the best. What about like Denik, Pious Apprentice? No, that's not a spirit on the front side. Okay, you know.
Spirit of the Labyrinth, another utility spirit.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
Touch
Doritha,
the Spirit Realm, very flavorful.
It is. Dorothea. Vengeful Victim. It's 2 mana for a 4/4 with flying. Whenever it attacks or blocks, sack it into combat, but you can disturb it for 3 mana to turn something into a Geist of St. Traft.
Seems decent.
Like, that's actually playable, probably. It's probably the only one from this set that is, but...
Alright, I found justification for us to splash red. Okay. The Planeswalker...
Ooh. Sorry, finish what you're saying.
The Planeswalker that broke Pioneer, Quintoris Canned, it makes spirits.
Yeah, so anyways, this one, it's a 1-mana 1/1 with flying. When it disturbs 3 to enchant a creature to give that creature 1/1 in flying. So you can give something that doesn't have flying.
Like the tokens that you're making off of Quintoris Canned.
What about the Mischievous Catgeist? It's literally a cat spirit.
I like cat spirits.
Oh my gosh, whenever it deals combat damage to a player, you draw a card. It's already doing the second card thing.
We've got bird spirits. We've got cat spirits.
Okay, you're actually...
I imagine like the cat spirits and the bird spirits feud a little bit because like the cats chase the birds.
That would make the most sense. Yeah, I imagine that's the case.
I think this deck could be like solid D tier.
Okay, you gotta look at this picture of this catgeist though. Anyone who hasn't seen this mischievous catgeist, please go look at it.
That's amazing.
It's so cute.
All right, wait. What's the backside look like though?
Someone's making like a cat's cradle with string in their hands, but it's like the glowing string.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well. All
right. I'm a fan of this deck.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I fully knew where that one was going. Right. I assumed it was going to be flying something.
I imagine this one will end up similar to the last one, but much more. Well, now I'll give you the card. So we got Genesis Chamber. Are you familiar with that one? So it's a 2-mana artifact, and it says, I got to pull it up. It's whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield.
I don't know if the audience is, though.
Controller creates a 1/1 mirror artifact creature token. But it's symmetrical, so it applies to you and your opponent.
It brings me back to your old Boros Norn Sisters days.
Yep. I used to play Norn Sisters in Modern, and
back when Modern was playable.
Don't
at me.
All right, so we got Genesis Chamber, KCI,
okay,
and Aetherflux Reservoir.
Okay, so you say it's going to be similar. I think it's not going to be similar at all. I think this is clearly an infinite combo waiting to happen.
Yeah, you just got to find the combo.
Well, it's actually... Hold on. Let me entertain the audience for a second while I look up a card's ruling. Or not ruling. It's Oracle Text.
All right. I'm going to grace you all with Tales of Norn Sisters, which I can't really actually think of any particular instances. But let me tell you, when you get like in a really grindy game and you've got a Norn and like 3 Genesis Chambers on the battlefield... I can distinctly remember times in Modern that I had like a solid like 30 tokens just like sitting on the battlefield. And I don't even remember why I hadn't won. I think maybe it was like an ensnaring bridge or something. But honestly, that deck was like sick. There were also games that
I figured out the infinite combo.
The deck's just awesome. All right, what's the
I think I'm pretty sure I figured out the infinite combo.
All right, what's the combo?
So, you actually only need Genesis Chamber for this combo. Out of the 3 cards you mentioned.
Sure.
But that doesn't actually do anything. Oh, no, it does. That actually does work, I think. Okay, so we need Genesis Chamber, Urza, Lord High Combo Piece, mm-hmm. and I can't remember what it's called. It's the 6-mana card for... Bant Blink, the Soul Bonds.
I know what card you're thinking of. Is it Deadeye Navigator?
Yes, it is. So you Deadeye Navigator, you tap, or you tap, I guess, Deadeye Navigator, and well, we'll say the mirror token that it made, and the token that Urza made for blue, mm-hmm. and you blink Urza.
Yep.
And then you comes in, you get another one of both of those tokens.
I'm here for it.
You do that over and over and over and over again. And now you have infinite tokens. So then if you have KCI, you get to Urza your deck. If you have... Actually, I guess you don't do anything if you have Aetherflux Reservoir there. But what I'm saying is you're building
a ton of life.
Yeah. So we're probably seeing if we can fit in other combos that work with Deadeye Navigator. I'm not exactly sure what that would be. Are there any creatures that come into play and untap an artifact?
Probably. Pester Mite at the very least.
Okay. So we could Deadeye Navigator Pester Mite to untap our Niv, what's the 4-mana rock that makes 2 different colors of mana that has Niv-Mizzet's face on it?
I have no idea.
Well, we tap that for blue red, and then we get to make infinite tokens that way, and then do whatever with it. So it's like a weird paradox build, but we're playing like Genesis Chamber, some more like creatures that we want to keep blinking, and Deadeye Navigator. Because the deck's already good at making a lot of blue mana. You don't have to go infinite. You can just have to blink something, you know, four times. And that's, you know, you could play like a big Atraxa and other stuff you want to keep not blinking. But I guess it is blinking. Yeah.
See.
Other big stuff we want to blink.
I feel like we've got to... the reason I picked these cards is because I feel like somewhere there has to be an infinite combo where, like, you... make a token off of Genesis Chamber, sack it to KCI, and do something to make another token, and then kind of rinse and repeat. I just don't know
how it happens. The thing is, Genesis Chamber needs you to play have a non-token interplay.
That's true.
Like, that's the problem. You could almost do it with, like, Golem Foundry, but you need non-tokens to come into play. So that's why I was like, well, what can I do for a low amount of mana to have a non-token creature enter play, and it's blink them.
Are there any like creatures that you can pay mana to return them to your hand or something like that?
Like Shrieking Drake?
I don't know, what does Shrieking Drake do?
It comes to your hand. Shrieking Drake, when it comes into play, return a creature you control to its owner's hand. It's one mana, so you just keep playing it.
What color mana is it?
It's a blue. So if you have an Urza, no Deadeye Navigator required, you can just keep playing this and tapping the mirrors.
Yeah.
But that's just makes infinite mirrors, which is fine. Making infinite mirrors isn't a bad thing.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like there's just so many combos with Urza and Genesis Chamber that we couldn't find.
Well, let's see. What else is there? We'd have to...
And that combos with Aetherflux Reservoir if you have Urza and
Genesis. Yeah, this works with Aetherflux Reservoir. It does, however, lose to Quicken Grapeshot. So that could be rough.
Right, yes. Because there's, you know, all the decks that are playing Quicken Grapeshot. So I think we have officially created like an F tier A plus B plus C plus D combo deck, and I'm like totally here for it. It's like, oh well, if you assemble these five different pieces, you can win.
This is gonna be the deck they vote on. Oh, this is gonna be a headache. Okay, well actually it might not be, because this next one, depending how you take it, may be more interesting to brew.
All right, good to know. Keep the deck as simple as possible. All right, we're playing mid-range.
No, you're not.
All right, give it to me.
Okay, so your first card is Preordain.
Okay, mid-range, your second, right there.
Your second card is Reanimate.
All right, this is a weird mid-range deck, Ash. I don't know what kind of mid-range deck you're brewing.
I play that in a four-color... Nightmare Saw.
That's not a mid-range deck.
Fair enough. And your third card is Ad Nauseam.
Alright.
Do you need me to read you the rules text for Ad Nauseam?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. So, it's 3 black-black for an instant. Resolve a Dark Confidant trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And then you may repeat this process any number of times.
Okay. And the cantrip was Preordain?
Yes.
Alright, well, I mean, obviously the deck is built around Ad Nauseam.
Which, actually, I'll give you a moment to think while I read that, because I realized that wasn't really cool for the audience if they don't know what it does. Ad Nauseam, it's 5 mana for an instant. You reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to its converted mana cost. And then you may repeat that process. So you can draw as many cards as you can afford life for the total cost of it all. But you have to do it one card at a time. And you can't see the card before you decide to pay for it. Okay.
So we're building Ad Nauseam for sure. So we're doing like the modern ad nauseum stuff where you're playing whatever the card that converts like damage into infect or poison.
Yeah, that's Phyrexian Unlife.
Yeah, and then you're playing like Solemnity,
Angel's Grace.
Like you're playing all the ways to just to do the ad nauseum thing, but so we're doing the ad nauseum thing, but we're doing the same thing with Grizzlebrand too. All right, I'm shifting. This is a like Grizzlebrand reanimator deck that also ad nauseums, and that doesn't work. We're split between the game plans, and we're going with both game plans. This is a pay a bunch of life, draw a bunch of cards type of deck.
We obviously need our kids.
What?
Children of Corlys?
Oh, yeah. Which, unfortunately, doesn't work very well with ad nauseum. But
sure it does. Just resolve Snapcaster Mage.
What?
You ad nauseum again.
Oh, honestly? Yeah, I like that. You like ad nauseum till you can't no more, and then you gain all the life back, and then you do it again.
I love how your solution to playing ad nauseum is to just put an 11 mana card in our deck.
No, but that's the only 11 mana card. Besides that, it's basically a storm deck that like goes off by using ad nauseum and or Grizzlebrand.
Grizzlebrand's only 8 mana.
Yeah, so we're fine. We're playing like a bunch of like cantrips, a bunch of like ways to like a bunch of rituals. Like we're playing a storm deck.
Such as Cabal Ritual.
Such as Cabal Ritual. But our engine to start going is either ad nauseum or Grizzlebrand, and we're in probably just 3 colors. We're probably just blue, black, white. I don't see any reason to be in
historically Tinfins has really enjoyed red rituals and sneak attack effects, as well as Faithless Looting.
Oh, sure. All right, so we're in red.
Because you're doing the reanimator thing.
Yeah, we could play Platinum and Angel.
I was going to say, no, you can't. You can't pay the life. Oh, wait, never mind.
That's no, Platinum not Platinum Empyrean. Platinum Angel is just one that says you can't lose, right?
Yeah, that's probably fine. Red also is good because you can play like... you can do Through the Breach, but you can also do Pass in Flames and Underworld Breach.
Sure. We're not playing Underworld Breach though, because then it just makes it too easy to win without Ad Nauseam or Grizzlebrand.
Fair.
We gotta be going all in on this plan. So I guess we're not really playing cantrips either, because our card draws... Well, no, we're playing cantrips to find our pieces. We're mostly playing tutors to find our pieces. We're playing rituals, and we're playing just like ad nauseum, Grizzlebrand, Tendrils of Agony, as like one our main probably kill.
So we're playing ad nauseum Tinfins.
Yeah, ad nauseum Tinfins. Yeah, the deck's it builds itself.
Okay, well I like it. I think we built some interesting decks today.
I agree. I think honestly, some of these decks I want to play. Some of them, like ad nauseum Tinfins, I really don't want to play, but I want to see someone else do it.
Someone will, hopefully. Do you want to talk about what you played most recently at Canlander, or should I?
You can go for it.
Okay, so. Last time I played Canlander, it was 2 weeks ago, actually. I recently moved a bit further away from our local scene, so I'm going to have to be dropping down my frequency. But it'll still be plenty of gaming. So I played against, I was playing Four Color Nightmare Saw. I've been really enjoying that recently. I'm probably going to be playing it tomorrow. We'll see. And I played against round one, Jun Midrange. It was a really close back and forth match. All three games were great games. But the highlight of my night came in round two, which was nothing that exciting happened in match one. It was a great match, but nothing crazy. Round two, I went up against another Jund deck. It was more of like a Jund aggro deck with some burn. It was actually originally black-red burn and kind of shifted into Jund. And the most interesting thing happened that match. Game one, I got smoked by a ton of burn out of nowhere. Like, it was like a mock start for some fast creatures and then just like burn, and I died. But game two was, he kind of mulliganed, then I kind of furied, and then his stuff was dead and my stuff killed him. But the best thing was game three, when I kept a really good hand that was like, I was Enlightened Tutoring into a Soul Ring, and then I was playing a White Plume into a Seasoned Dungeoneer into a Karma Guide. If I could trade something off, it was just going to be insane. What happened is he played a Douthi Voidwalker, so I was not able to actually use my Karma Guide. He ended up killing both of my things and got them both under it, his Douthi Voidwalker. And then he sacrificed Douthi Voidwalker to play my Seasoned Engineer. And then I had just enough mana to cast a Court of Calling for two, go and get a Charming Prince to exile target creature you own, which was that Seasoned Engineer, and then bring it back to my side. So it was pretty awesome play, I must say. I quite enjoyed it. And then match three, I'm pretty sure I went up against Chad on Red Green Bond, but honestly, I don't remember what my third match was. I think I drew and played a game, and then I headed home. I think it was against Bond, but I can't actually remember. That Charming Prince play was awesome, and now I don't think I can ever cut the card, just out of respect for its past. No, it is good, but it's always been like on my, like, the five cards I was thinking about cutting to, like, bring my number down. I never cut it, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
Now I absolutely never will. What about you?
So I have been on a pretty hard break from at least going to weeklies recently. I plan to change that very soon. But for now, I'm going to grace you with a tale of the biggest blowout I have ever experienced. And unfortunately, it was against me. I was playing a little deck known as Bant ETB. Maybe not tier one, but a very fun deck that can have some incredibly powerful games. And in one game that I was playing, I was against a local player who was on, I think he was on like blue-white tempo or something similar to that. And I was doing great, all right? I was living the dream. I had tons of ETB creatures. I had creatures that when they ETB'd, they made another other creatures ETB again. And I was about to have the turn, let me tell you, because I cast an Eerie Interlude. And I had a board full of creatures. Like, my goodness, the amount of Enter the Battlefield triggers that I was going to experience was going to be enough to make even a Felidar Guardian jealous. And so I cast this Eerie Interlude. And bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, I tried to go to my instep. And my opponent looks to me and says, yeah, in response to the return trigger, I will stifle it. And I said, what? That's not how that works. And he was like, yeah, unfortunately, that is how that works. And let me tell you, that is how that works. My entire board was cast into exile because of a single blue mana instant and my hopes and dreams of entering the battlefield with every single creature known to mankind was dashed, and I got brutally murdered because my board died to a one mana wrath. It was heart-wrenching, heartbreaking, and
some powerful magic, my friend.
I still have a little bit of PTSD.
Reasonable. That's reasonable. I would too. Well, this episode has been a little bit shorter, but we hope you enjoyed our lovely brewing of these silly decks. Actually, most of them not that silly, I guess.
Yeah, honestly, I think a decent bit of them could be good.
I'm excited to see what the community deems we should pick. So yeah. Here's my question: should I put it in like a Spotify poll, or should I do like a link in the description so it's all in one place, or should I just do it on the Discord?
I would say the best thing to do is do it in the Discord, and if you are wanting to vote on which deck we should do a live brew of, the best way that you can do that is by clicking the link in the description and joining our Discord. We have an awesome community, and you'll get to vote on this poll.
Check out the announcements tab, and that is where the poll will be.
And even if we don't end up picking the deck that you wanted us to brew, feel free to give ideas for some of the decks in the comments. Because, to be honest, I think some of these decks, like, you could find some really cool interactions, and I'm just not capable of finding them on my own. So if you, heard about one of the decks, you were like, oh, well, you could play this card, and it would do this, and that would be super cool. Let us know in the comments or on the Discord. And I would love to have a discussion about that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, any closing thoughts from you, my friend?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I hope you all have a lovely time. I hope you draw well, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the 10 Points Podcast. And don't forget to count your points.